Now, Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Okay, corn sweat or no corn sweat, there won't be another game in Iowa until at least next year.
Well, David Ross said the Cubs are a part of that, and so I tweeted out, well, they are the Iowa Cubs indeed. Might as well. You get the Des Moines Cubs playing at Wrigley, just take them back to Iowa.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if this team's good enough to be a Triple-A team, but...
Well, since they have an 8,000 seats there, you would think maybe a minor league team comes in and buys and plays there.
But then, I mean...
I know, then they've got to take care of the field and everything
else. And I know we talked about it, rightfully so, all the yesterday on the station, you know, and Yurka's like, you know, you can't do it again. It was so note perfect.
Right.
Fox did, I mean, the opening, I know Mike North tweeted out, I can't believe I'm watching a pregame show.
Right.
And then the intro.
Well, I watched the whole pregame.
I know, everyone did.
Pregame,
and it's like, when was the last time you did that? And you were getting chills with the music and the players coming through the corn stalks and everything. I mean, and it was perfect. So now you're going to get the Cubs and Cardinals reportedly next year. Who cares?
Right.
And now it might be cool for the players to actually be part of that, but you can't do the whole intro and have
you're
the
you're not going to have Costner there again.
Right. And so, I mean, will Cub fans drive? I said to you, will the year after that, if you're going to make this an annual event, will it be the Brewers and Twins? It's all going to be regional teams, Kansas City at some point, because they want people to drive there and generate, you know, some ticket sales.
Yeah, Braves, Marlins makes no sense.
Yeah, Dodgers aren't coming here.
No.
I don't imagine.
Yeah, Mariners. I mean,
But you know, they all said it yesterday, and I would echo their sentiments. It was special. It was perfect. Whatever they do next year, it's going to fall flat. It just is. You can't redo what you did the other night. It was perfect.
Well, they said they have 60,000 visitors a year.
Yeah.
To the Field of Dreams, they had 8,000, probably 9,000, closer to 9,000 there, and I would think if you wanted to go there now on a weekend, it's going to be crowded for the next month.
Sure.
Because people are going to make their plans.
I got to go.
Right. But when school starts again, you know, and whatever, maybe drive out there afterwards, because I would think it's open probably till October. I don't know if it's open year-round. It wouldn't make sense to be open when there's snow out there.
No.
But I was out there in August one year. And when I was out there, it has to be like, boy, almost 15, 20 years ago. And it was cool then when I was there. And I'll go again because I just want to see how the whole thing looks.
Well,
and the corn maze, if it's going to keep that up.
Hats off to those guys, too. It was a Ken Rosenthal with his report.
Yeah.
That some of the corn was wind damaged because of those storms.
Unbelievable what he said.
Yeah, they bought up every, and I had imagine green fiberglass pole or stick and
rods,
went out there and ziplined all the corn to make it look perfectly that.
And then so it grew straight up.
Yeah,
and
so they
like
could walk through the players. I mean, they were doing that like for all hours for days leading up to this. They didn't miss a beat.
No.
And how meticulous that is.
And I don't know if you saw the one thing, and we'll get right to the callers. A lot of people jumping in. 312-332-3776. When Kevin Costner was walking out, there was a board up so that the people in the stands couldn't see the guy on the camera.
Right, right.
The camera guy and his sound guy, I guess,
were ducking behind
this. So when you were looking at it from the stands, you didn't see, because you know MLB's going to come out with a big thing. They're going to probably put a big thing out and stuff like that. But I'd love to see some of the other footage they got. It's got to be awesome.
And that's why when we have the Twitter poll about did you miss the K-Zone, I didn't even think about it during the game because everything was, I mean, they tried to make it as authentic as possible or as special as possible. And in any other game, I miss that. Like, where was that pitch? I would need to see that.
Exactly.
Right? So I didn't even think about it because the whole atmosphere had me kind of consumed. I wasn't even worried about stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I was. At the very beginning, I realized they didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't worried about it until Kopech started yelling. And then I was worried. We got a Crown Point. And Dave, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I just got to start out by saying that my email address is that I am a Hawkeye. So let's go a little bit further.
Okay.
Brant Miller on Monday night during the tornadoes was blaming the tornadoes in that rural area because of that corn sweat. The corn sweat is only for 3 or 4 weeks during the year when the ground starts pulling up, the corn starts pulling up the water through the ground and it explodes through the top of it. Okay, so like I said, I know about that.
Right.
I've detasseled corn in my days. Okay. So that is a low humidity. It only hangs about probably 30, 40 feet over the atmosphere.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the other humidity obviously is throughout the whole stratosphere, okay? But this particular is only 20 to 30 feet high.
Interesting.
So that rules that guy's theory at Myrtle Beach, because I've been to Myrtle Beach. I've never seen any corn rolls.
No.
Except for some of the caddies had some corn rolls, but that's a different story.
Yes, it is.
And then the ballpark was made on the exact replica of Old Comiskey Park.
Right.
So I thought during the sixth inning, they should have gone in and installed AstroTurf in the infield and then pulled it out. And then they should have put a temporary fence in there for the eighth inning, you know, the 10 feet closer like they did in the 70s to make it really authentic.
Wow.
Dave.
But I'm not a White Sox fan. I'm a baseball fan. I really enjoyed that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
And being a graduate from the University of Iowa, it just made me feel so proud to be an Iowa guy.
It was great that it was a game played in Iowa.
You detasseled corn for a living, or we all, shuck corn, or did you, was that a hobby of yours or what?
No, it was just a 2-week thing for summer school.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dave. Man.
Appreciate the guy. I didn't know it was called detasseling.
No, I shuck it.
Yeah.
I said shuck.
I like detasseling. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It sounds much more like I'm a really expert. Yes. I went to school for it was a school project.
I was a detasseler.
You have to pass that.
To Painless Heights and George, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Hey, just a shout out to the White Sox manager. His first time managing a full game. Couldn't think of a better choice. Tony La Russa was gone, and Miguel Cairo, who's our bench coach, and just a shout out to him with a great job.
You know, George, when you were watching the game, did you wonder why they brought Lurie Garcia in for Adam Engel in right field?
No, I did not know. I have no idea why they did that, but I'm tired of second guessing after watching them since 1953. So the first game I went to was 1953, so I don't, because I think every time I second guess, my two sons, who know everything, correct me. So I just kind of keep my mouth shut after all these years. And by the way, my license plate is Sox fan. I won't give the number, but it is number one. And I'm a great Sox fan. I really enjoy you guys.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the call. I like that he doesn't second guess. But I'm going, okay, Miguel Cairo, why are you putting Lurie Garcia in for Adam Engel? Then we found out Engel, when he was circling the bases after that Tim Anderson double, he actually pulled something.
Yeah.
Yeah, hurting himself a little bit. Callers, I just want to get to this. I promised it 45 minutes ago. Jeff Passan was on with Waddle and Sylvie. He's on each and every Friday, and a lot of times I run the stuff on Saturday and Sunday because what he says on Friday is good stuff, and it's really great and pertinent. And Sylvie asked him how he thinks Tony La Russa and the White Sox are going to manage the Kimbrell-Hendricks last-inning closer role.
I think the best way to go about this is going to be purely and strictly matchup-based going forward. Now, I'm not sure if Tony La Russa is going to do that. I'm not sure if the White Sox front office is going to provide the sorts of numbers that some other organizations do, but I have faith, honestly, in both of them to handle this the right way. I mean, say what you will about Tony La Russa and his managerial acumen, but this is the guy who brought upon the modern bullpen with the way that he used his relief pitchers, and I'd like to think that he's going to be open-minded enough to understand that if the lineup that's coming up in the eighth inning is more conducive to Liam Hendricks' pitch mix and he's likelier to get them out, that he's going to have no problem giving the ninth to Craig Kimbrell. But the idea that you're going to do it just to put Kimbrell in the ninth and to have Hendricks in the eighth, I think that would be a silly way to go about things. Innings are not specifically made for particular pitchers. It's not about the inning. It's about the matchup. And if you want to play modern baseball the way that it should be played, you go with your best matchup in those situations.
Now, I thought that was really interesting, not only because of, I agree with him on the matchup stuff, but nowadays it's different because you have to stay in for three hitters.
Right.
So it's not like you go, okay, we got a lefty, and then we got two lefties, but then it's righties, four righties in a row or something like that.
Is that going away next year? Is that one of the rules that?
I don't think so. Hmm. I think that one's staying.
Okay.
But who knows? But I think they're keeping that one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I don't mind it for the most part. It doesn't really come into play. I mean, when you're watching the game, it doesn't seem to. And you just know that there would be a lot more substitutions. Aaron Bummer would probably face less right-handed hitters than he does on a, you know, on a game-by-game basis. But I'm really interested to see what LaRusse is going to do, because you saw what happened. And I would think that tonight, Liam Hendricks wants to get back out there.
Sure.
Immediately.
Right.
And Kimbrell seems very nonchalant. He doesn't seem like it matters to him, but we haven't heard much from him. I don't know that I've ever heard Craig Kimbrell talk, and I mean, I'm sure I have.
Right, but
Liam
Hendricks talks
all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean that in-game interview, very interesting, and you know, but that could go on another hour, and he would have been fine with it.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't mind it at all.
Well, immediately after the game, people said a little less talking, a little more pitching.
Well, yeah, but again, yeah. 6 days rest. Is it rust versus anything else, or was it just a rough outing? But you're right. He wants to get in there at night and get a better feel for it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Dylan Cease will go seven innings.
It's bad enough Aloik says he's the best hitter on the planet, which I can't argue right now. Now Dylan Cease has turned it into something, and Jose Quintana's come and gone help.
we go to Wheeling, and Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I got to tell you, that was the greatest advertisement for baseball I've ever seen. A diehard Chicago White Sox fan, and thanks for your expertise. I have only one thought. Why didn't Koster throw out the first pitch?
That is a little interesting. It would have been cool if he threw out the first pitch.
That would have been the topper. That would have really been the topper. I really think that was really... I mean, a couple of people have asked me that. You know, hey, how come he didn't throw out the first pitch? That was the only thing that was missing.
Well, you know what?
Awesome job.
You know what else is weird, Mike? The guy that played his dad was there, but they never showed him, did they?
No, I don't remember it. Yeah.
He was there. If they would have brought him out, if Costner would have walked to the mound and that guy would have walked out, that might have been the only thing they could have done, because he was there. I've seen pictures of him, and people took pictures of him there. So why not bring him out?
I thought Kevin Costner, the in-game interview was interesting, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. I just thought, first of all, the guy doesn't age. I mean, right?
No.
I mean, what is that?
Yeah, not too much.
I'm not watching that Keystone series, but I've thought maybe I should.
Yellowstone,
yeah.
It's really good.
I know. I've seen the commercials. Yeah. I'm like, I should be recording that and catching
it. It's a great show.
Yeah, my brother loves it. But, yeah. I mean, this guy, but, you know, him talking about his son going out and playing catch.
And he did. They showed it. Yeah. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, my brothers came over. The first thing my brother said, you remember playing catch with Dad? I said, no. He told us to go outside and play catch, but he never
don't do it
he
in
never,
the house.
He never came outside with us. What the hell happened? We get back to the calls. We are going to talk some Bears because they're getting ready for their first preseason game. We get to see Justin Fields. JD is going to join us at 11 here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
So we've talked about corn sweat. We've talked about humidity. We've talked a lot about the Field of Dreams game. One more call on... corn sweat. Well, we've had people disagreeing and agreeing. What's going on, Charlie?
How you doing? I'm an old Southsider. Loved the game the other night. Loved the White Sox. But when I moved to Florida golfing down here, I noticed the ball didn't go as far. And I thought it was because of the humidity. But it's not. It's because, like that guy going to Myrtle Beach, you're playing at sea level versus playing at 700-800 feet in Chicago. Just like when you're out in Denver, the ball, when you play golf out there, the ball goes 30 yards further.
Because altitude farther.
Yeah. The other thing about the game, I remember it was on one of your shows during the week. There was a bitter Cub fan on saying, I bet you you'll
That's redundant
see more.
These days, bitter Cub fan. I'm in that group. I go to all the meetings.
All Cub fans are bitter right now, yeah.
Anyway... This guy called in and said, I bet you'll see more Cub jerseys than White Sox jerseys. And I can't remember seeing one Cub jersey the whole day.
There was one right behind home plate. A guy had the Wrigleyville jersey on. And then Chris Chelios had brought Rizzo's Cubs jersey. Maybe he had bought the ticket and he said, well, I'm going to go anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Rizzo couldn't go because he tested positive for COVID. Actually has symptoms, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't see, you're right. I didn't see any others, Charlie. Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. no doubt listening to us on the ESPN Chicago app, which you can always get. And it's the best way. That's how I pulled the Jeff Passan cut. I just went to the app and was able to,
so easy
to focus in on it. Oh, it's the best. It's so good. And for your phone, it's great. I was able to get it on the computer. And it just brings it right up. 312-332-3776. You want to still talk about the Field of Dreams game? We can do that. I want to get into a little bit of football talk because there's a lot going on about Justin Fields. And Justin Fields gets his first – we get to see him. And unless you went to practice
– red zone drill, he was MVP, all-star. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they say. And it's funny because the TV cameras – can't shoot the practices.
No, that's been going on for a few years now. You sign waivers to go. You
but
can't.
Fans did.
Yeah.
So I saw his one of his passes, and I saw another one yesterday, a pass down the sideline to Jimmy Graham. And so you get to see a little bit of stuff here and there. But today, are you going to watch the preseason game? And I would think a lot of people are going to watch it more so than usual.
We have a Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. How much of the Bears game will you watch? All? Parts of it? None? Until Fields is done. Those are your choices.
Yeah. Adam Johns just reported that the Bears nose tackle Eddie Goldman, who just came off the COVID list, running sideline to sideline right now. First time we've seen him since he was put on the
good,
list.
Because he, you know, the Bears tweeted out a picture of him lifting weights because there was a question if he's at the facility. Was he going to sit out another season? Because you're allowed to because of the COVID negotiations with players. But he's here. He's been working out.
Yeah.
And then he goes on COVID list and you're like, oh, will this make him rethink the thing? And now he's out there. You know, you're going to see him. That's good.
Yeah, that's real good. One more. We had a caller here. I don't want to not take him. We got a Mount Prospect to Steve. Steve, what's going on? What don't you like about A-Rod?
Oh, well, A-Rod.
Show's over at noon, by the way.
Pardon me?
If you got enough about A-Rod, the show's over at noon. I know a lot of people could go for an hour and a half on that.
Yeah, well, A-Rod, I don't know how he gets all the good press and everything. He's just as bad as Sammy Sosa, Mark Aguirre, or Barry Bonds as far as drugs, and yet he's like the golden boy. And the thing I didn't like about it is when on the post game he made a comment, well, there were at least four home runs by African-Americans. Hey, there were also four by white Americans. You don't bring that stuff up. I think he was, you know, he is just obnoxious. And then,
well, he may be obnoxious.
He
I
is.
Didn't hear the postgame. No. It's funny. I stuck around for all of the pregame, but I didn't watch any of the postgame.
Well, the game went long.
Yeah.
I mean, went well into the night, and after that finish, I didn't need to break it down.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it. I was just like on a baseball high. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Mark McGuire, not Mark Aguirre.
Because Mark Aguirre couldn't hit the fastball.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. I used to love watching him play.
Yeah,
there was nothing better. One of these days we'll do a show when there's nothing going on. We'll do it. There was almost nothing better than watching the DePaul basketball team with Cummings and Aguirre, and they were. It was it was better than watching a pro team. Almost.
I ghost wrote Ray Meyer's column for the Sun-Times.
Did you?
Yes, for a year, and you'd go sit in his office for an hour or two, and once a week,
yeah,
try to get him focus on a topic or whatever. And you know, Ray's just the most affable guy in the
yes,
world.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I looked forward to doing each week, but it was amazing how many phone calls he would get within the course of those 2 hours from those guys. Or you know,
oh, is it?
Yeah, I would just have to stop and wait for 10 minutes because he was catching up with. But I mean, yeah, that they were the Bulls.
Yes, they were.
They were on WGN, the superstation. They were known across the country because they were treated as a NBA entity. That's how the newspapers in town covered them.
Yep.
They got more coverage than the Bulls because
they did.
They deserved to be
16,000 at the Horizon back in the day. 16,000-17,000 for a DePaul Georgetown game at noon on a Saturday. I mean, it could not have gotten better. I used to do stats. I did stats two or three times for Enberg and McGuire doing the DePaul Notre Dame, DePaul, Georgetown. It was the event.
Absolutely was.
I mean, you look forward to it. There was nothing better than that. And that was before the Bulls.
The Bulls, that was in the day where I think Red Kerr was trying to, he'd call in the box score to the paper.
Yeah, to try and get him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you please mention us once or twice? So anyway, there's a lot of quarterbacks that came out of the draft this year. And Sean did a good job for us and got a bunch of the coaches breaking down what the quarterbacks are doing and how they're going to use some of these guys. Now, Mac Jones is in New England, and he's battling with Cam Newton, okay? And I don't know. There's a lot of people that like what Cam Newton's done. Bill Belichick talked about Mac Jones and his debut.
Just in general, we need to play faster and react faster. That's every position across the board. Practice is practice, but things happen at game speed, and that's something that I would say everyone needs to improve on. Certainly the quarterback position, but every other position too. It's just, we haven't had the live game exposure until last night, and so that's a good opportunity for us to recognize how fast things are going to happen and have to match that speed. So, I think the speed of the game for all the rookie players was a little bit different, certainly, than anything we've been able to practice.
Mac Jones yesterday, 13 for 19, 87 yards, was sacked once, 78 quarterback rating. And
so the short passing game was the plan, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. Don't do too much. The 49ers have a game coming up later on today. They play the Chiefs, and Kyle Shanahan has talked about his quarterbacks with Jimmy Garoppolo and also the drafted Trey Lance.
How do you think your quarterback's awareness was in that drill with 8 seconds left down in the red zone?
Not great. I mean, it's a tough position to be in because we had no timeouts, so you got to go to the end zone no matter what. And so rarely things are open to rhythm, so sometimes you try to buy time, but which is part of it. But when we threw it short, not into the end zone, that wasn't very good awareness. So you got to go to the end zone or out of bounds. That's what the situation is.
In researching Trey, did he have a lot of those types of situations? I mean, there was such limited college film on him. Has he been in, a situation like that?
Not a ton. Their team was pretty good. Felt like they were blowing people out usually by the fourth quarter. So he hadn't been in too many. It was good to have it today, though. You're not always happy with everything, and it wasn't just his group. It was kind of all three of the groups. But it's good to wish it went perfect, but it's good to have film when you go in. Glad it went good for the D.
How are you going to use the quarterbacks for the exhibition over Jimmy's start and then you go to
I haven't told any of the teammates or the players yet, so I'll wait to tell them, and then I'll tell you guys as soon as I do, which I probably won't for a couple days.
I always like that. At least he's told people. I haven't told any of the players, so I'm not going to tell you guys right now.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be the right way to do it. That's how coaches lose teams.
That's how Aaron Rodgers gets upset when he hears things through TV and such.
Yeah. Robert Saleh talked about his the progress of his youngster.
How much will Zach play? Have you guys figured that out yet?
Yeah, so we're thinking about a quarter, a couple of series for all those guys, and just kind of get him his first action.
Zach seemed like he was taking a little more control at the line today. It looked like he was calling audibling and just making some adjustments. Is that something you're now this week giving him the freedom to do? How has that kind of changed? I think it's one of the first couple of times we've seen you did it pretty effectively.
Yeah, it's all part of the installation process, and that goes back to the entire offense and Mike in terms of feeling what the offense is playing like and whether or not we want to press the line of scrimmage, scale it back, give it to Zach, pull it off. It's a part of their system, and it's all part of the installation process.
So this is a weird year because a lot of times, I remember back in the day when quarterbacks were drafted and there wasn't that much focus on them playing and playing right away. But in this one, it seems like a lot of these guys are in situations where they can actually play relatively soon, and not just one or two of them, but numerous quarterbacks.
And you're starting to hear a general theme there. I mean, when you have Belichick talk, he just wanted to paint with a broad brush.
Right.
He talked about the quarterbacks, but it's about game speed and decision making, and it's different than scrimmages. And then you had Shanahan talking about, I find it very interesting, because that was it North Dakota State or North Dakota?
North Dakota State, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Where they were blowing teams out. So he wasn't in the red zone with no timeouts,
right?
Very often, if at all.
Sure.
Where he had to make those decisions, end zone or out of bounds. With Matt Nagy talking about Justin Fields. Now, every teammate is singing this guy's praises. He's a
yes,
veteran.
They are. Reminds him of Russell Wilson.
On the rare miscue this week, he immediately gets with his receiver and either says, I did that wrong, or you cut here when you should. And they respect that he's reading the game, and nothing seems to be above his pay grade, right? I mean, he seems to be ready to go right now in terms of leadership and all the intangibles. And plus, by the way, he can throw make any throw possible.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, the fact that McNagy won't say how long, but he's definitely going to play past the first half. I mean, I that's why I'm watching the game tonight. I want to see just all about Justin Fields, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Even with this offensive line, which is, you know, a huge question mark.
We come back, Kirk Herbstreit, not only a broadcaster for ESPN, but also a guy that is an Ohio State guy.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll remind you of that.
That's right. And he was out with Waddle and Sylvie and talked about Justin Fields. We'll hear from him. We'll take your calls. 312-332-3776. How excited are you? How much of the game are you going to watch today, the Bears' first preseason game? Usually I don't watch preseason football, or at least a lot of it. Probably today, I'm probably like a lot of people where I'll watch a little bit more than usual. Let's know what how much you're going to watch. 312-332-3776. Jeff Dickerson joins us at 11 right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
We heard coaches talk about the rookie quarterbacks, Jones and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. One of the, you know, the top one, Trevor Lawrence, going to Jacksonville. Urban Meyer is in Jacksonville. I'm always interested in how college coaches play, coaching in the pros and how that's going to play
usually
out.
Usually doesn't work out too well.
Yeah. Urban Meyer talked about Trevor Lawrence, who's actually in the midst of a quarterback battle.
They'll both play. A lot of it's who's going to be behind. You know, we just want to make sure we have protect both those quarterbacks, but both will play.
Will Trevor play with the first team offensive line?
Once again, tonight's going to be the final meeting on that.
If Trevor were to go to you, if you, in other words, you tell him, here's the plan, and he were to say to you, coach, would be all right if I go one more series, or would you listen to him lobbying for more playing time?
I'm going to really rely on Bev and Shoddy, you know. This whole preseason, it's fairly new to me, you know, not fairly, really new. You know, in college, there's no preseason. You're winner or loser right away. So I'm going to listen as much as I can. They both have a lot of experience with young quarterbacks. They have, and that's why I hired them. And they've been not good. They've been great helping me navigate those questions.
Is there really a chance that you guys won't start Trevor Lawrence against Houston in a month?
Is there really a chance?
Yeah.
I think we'll answer that as it gets closer.
But it's still very much an open competition to see who gets that honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew is the guy that he's battling with.
Well, that's not the conversation here.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
We didn't promise him. We didn't make a promise to Andy Dalton, but he's our starter.
I told him
he's the starter. And,
yeah.
And can Justin Fields change that discussion? Nope.
Yeah, and the one thing, we've talked about it, and I think everybody knows it, and until, you know, you're basically beating your head against the wall until Matt Nagy says, okay, he's going to start. We could talk about it all day long.
And what I've heard, and we, you know, he's not starting all season. That's their that's their plan,
right.
Barring injury or surprise or being really bad, Andy Dalton being Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
That their ideal is Andy Dalton is more than serviceable. You're winning and you're have a chance to win the division or be a playoff team, and that your blueprint is perfect because Justin Fields can learn and absorb and not be on the field. By the way, there is a preseason at Ohio State or Notre Dame, wherever you want to be, the big programs. It's called the hyphen game, right?
Right.
Where you get the hyphen teams, directional teams to the North Dakota States to come in or whatever.
Yeah. But like, those all count.
Well, they count,
yeah.
But you give them a check for like $1 million to get your guys beat up, you know, and take the team back to wherever, to the MAC.
Right.
Back when the MAC wasn't very good.
Right.
Well, you know, poor Northern Illinois before they became a football force.
Sure.
You know. If you lost that game, well, then everyone in town would be, you know, want to have your head.
Well, didn't Michigan lose to Appalachian State one time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But those games were your preseason. You had a couple of those games where you wrote the big check to have them come in and, and basically give you a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And you better win 53-0 or 3.
Right.
Or people would say, wait, that was a little too close for comfort.
Now, Kirk Herbstreit, a guy you've seen if you're watching college football, if you've seen him for the last 10, 15 years doing games. And a lot of people after the draft said that Justin Fields was the second quarterback taken, but he was actually probably the first one talent-wise. Some people have said that, and Kirk Herbstreit was out with Waddle and Sylvie just the other day, on Thursday, I think this was, and he was asked, why did Fields fall in the NFL draft?
Eventually, we're going to find out how that plays out. I can only go by what some of the people were talking about before the draft. You know, there was some talk about how he doesn't have the same work ethic, last guy there, first one to leave kind of stuff, which is just mind-boggling to me. Because every time I was around him, it was the opposite of that. When I talk with Ryan Day, who's incredibly candid when he talks about his guys with me, he was very, very shocked and defensive about some of the negative energy that was being said about him leading up to the draft. So the good news is whoever selected him, like I said, his fire's burning even stronger. He's even more motivated. I don't know why he slipped. I couldn't tell you. I mean, if you're going to nitpick the Northwestern game or the second half against Indiana or the Alabama game, I mean, you can find throws or a series or a half, I guess, of about anybody. But for whatever reason, that just kind of lingered around with him. But, man, if you look at the modern game and how it's played and what's asked of the quarterback, we no longer live like when Tommy was playing. We were, you know, quarterbacks were seven strap drops and had to play from the pocket. I mean, the game now is so different at that position, and you got it. The more you can make plays with your legs, and Patrick Mahomes is a great example of that, and Kyler Murray, and even what's going on with Baker Mayfield. I mean, these guys are creating. And how often do we see a guy throw in rhythm and get the ball out? I mean, it seems like, I don't know, five out of eight throws. He's coming out. He's dipping underneath something. He's stepping up. And wait till you guys see Justin Fields do things like that. Now, the caveat I would throw out is just the coverages, the multiple coverages in the NFL, and how long would it take him to pick up what he's seeing and transitioning pre-snap to post-snap. You know, for some of these, it's impossible to predict how quickly these guys can pick that up until you see it, until you watch them. But there's a significant difference for coming out of the Big Ten, where what you see pre-snap is 9 times out of 10 going to be what you see post-snap. And, Tom, as you know, I mean, you're going to look at a tight corner and, oh, it's too high, I got this, and all of a sudden snap of the ball, one of the safeties in the middle of the field, other safety comes down, and it's a different coverage. And you got to react to that as a receiver, and obviously the quarterback's got to see that too. So how will he respond to that for four quarters when he plays will be the mystery to all this. But his ability and the intangibles and the leadership, off the charts.
I thought that was a great breakdown by Kirk Herbstreit, especially the latter parts, too, about, you know, reading defenses in college is one thing, reading them in a pro is the way they're able to shift things up and move and everything else at the snap of the ball.
Yeah, and that goes back to what Belichick was saying, just the speed of the game in general for everyone, but in particular quarterback. The first part of that, too, was also, I've never heard the work ethic criticism.
Yeah.
Because everything, and Kirk said it, every time he's been around, Ryan Day would tell him no, and what he witnessed was first in, last out type of leader. Right. Everything I've heard out of Bears camp or around Bears is this guy immediately gets it. Where, you know, Mitch Trubisky, in even last year, going into his last offseason when he was here with the Bears, Matt Nagy's like, you know, he really has to start learning the offense.
Uh-huh.
Like, he really has to, in the offseason, immerse himself in the film. Like, it was a backhanded or it was an out-and-out criticism of the guy's not doing enough during the offseason to that he's ready to go or be much more improved when he gets to the OTAs and all that stuff.
Yeah, and so we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing how much Justin Fields plays today, and so are a lot of other people. Let's go to Highland Park and Scott. Scott, what's going on today?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing
well. Love the show. Listen, I think it's pretty obvious here. You know, Matt Nagy, you know, he's going to do what Matt Nagy wants. He's very fickle, you know. 2 years ago, he says, well, you know, we're not going to make any changes in the staff. And then 45 minutes after the press conference, he fires four guys. Let's talk about the two guys. Andy Dalton's a good guy. He's a solid pro. But his ceiling and his floor aren't that far away. Justin Fields, this guy is a unique talent. And one of the things you need to do in NFL football is improvise. So what I would say to Justin is, listen, buddy, just keep your head up. You're going to, because he's going to be around a lot longer than Matt Nagy. I'll hang up here what you have to say.
All right. Okay. Yeah, there's a good chance he'll be around a lot longer than Matt Nagy. I think a lot of quarterbacks are.
Well, I think the fact that they drafted Justin Fields probably bought Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy at least another 3 years. And if you, the cynic might say, well, the longer you keep them off the field, the clock doesn't really start ticking yet again on Nagy and Pace until they get the franchise quarterback to be on the field.
Yeah.
But as soon as he's on there, and
that's when it starts.
Yeah. Because they're hanging their hat on the defense elevating this year to where it was in, 2018 when they had 36 takeaways?
Exactly.
Because they didn't take the ball away last year.
Nope.
They didn't
last
help the
2 years, they didn't,
help the offense out. So I don't know if that's actually going to come to play, but Khalil Mack looks better, and Robert Quinn needs to be better.
Let's go to Scott in Lake Forest. Scott, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Good afternoon or good morning, guys. I want you to think about something. Do you remember when the Jets beat the Raiders last year, I think it was, to ruin their chance for getting Trevor Lawrence? What happens all of a sudden if now the Jets take Trevor Lawrence with the first pick, and then here you have, if Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville, does he take his Ohio State roots player? And now where are we as Bears fans, instead of being euphoric about having Justin Fields on our team, now we're sitting around with arguably, Mac Jones or someone like that. It's crazy how things change with one game.
Would they have even drafted a Mac Jones? I mean, if Justin Fields wasn't available and they weren't,
would they have gone somewhere else?
Would they have drafted a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. But it's an interesting point that Urban Meyer was going to, he had to take Trevor Lawrence because the owner said we're taking Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah. All the way up to the draft, I always thought it would make more sense for their organization to move down a little bit and take one of the other quarterbacks. Scott, appreciate the call as always. I just think you need a lot more than just your quarterback, and
But if you get the quarterback right, a lot of the other stuff you can get healthy by a good quarterback. I mean,
he can
disguise a lot of the other places where you need upgrades.
He can, but if you don't have talent for him to play with, of an offensive line. We'll find out today about the offensive line and what the Bears are going to stick out there. Jeff Dickerson is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get back to the calls after this. Fred and Brian here on ESPN 1000 till noon.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Bears action today as they open up their preseason. Just three preseason games, two at Soldier Field. They play this week and then they play next week before playing their third one on the road. Fields to play from the first quarter, possibly into the fourth quarter. We'll have to wait and see. He did have three touchdown passes and ran for one against the Dolphins the other day in their scrimmage, and people came out just so excited about the way he played.
Ooing, eyeing, saying he made every pass you can make. I can't wait to hear JD's take on it when he joins us in a few minutes. But the red zone against the Dolphins in particular, four touchdowns and six possibilities. But on the run, in the pocket, he did it all.
They've had a lot of people at camp lately. Alex Smith was there, the former quarterback. Now he's going to be working for ESPN. And he asked the players, are you living today? And a couple players actually said, they actually thought about that. We're just playing and trying to get things, but, this is all we can play for. And, it's one of those things, you can't do it. You can't make up for what happened yesterday.
Right.
You can't do anything for tomorrow. Just work on
worry
today.
About today, yeah.
And, Alex Smith, anybody that saw his leg after, man, what they did.
What a career he had.
The ups
and downs.
Yeah, number one draft pick for the 49ers. And then he goes to Kansas City, plays very, very well. And just him coming back and getting on the field was without a doubt, one of the great stories in sports in such a weird year last year.
Well, but I always go back to this. The whole Matt Nagy blueprint was based on Patrick Mahomes sitting while Alex Smith was running the offense. Alex Smith had a wonderful career year that year.
Yeah.
There was no reason to to have the hook ready to go for him.
No.
He didn't give you – I mean, he elevated his game to show you why he was selected number one overall at one point. And so, I mean, that's the dream. Now, Andy Dalton's not going to be that guy, but the hope is for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace is that he's not only a solid citizen, a good teammate, but he's more than a serviceable quarterback. He's not making mistakes. He's not costing you games. He's actually helping you win games.
Yeah, great to see him there. And I know Doug Peterson was at camp with them for a little while and things like that. So he does have a lot of contacts. We'll see if how he handles Justin Fields today and how he handles the rest of the team and who is on the field today. Bear fan Bob jumping on in. Bob, what's going on today?
Gentlemen, good morning. And by the way, Brian, I'm still waiting to see you at lunchtime. Fred will give you the coordinates. We miss you.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm looking for offensive line play. I'm getting real sick and tired of watching these Bears quarterbacks, and I don't care who's back there, are running for their life, okay? To include Fields. I want to see Fields and Coach Nagy and everybody successful. I really do. But it's never going to happen until we get some cohesive offensive line play. I'm going to have the game on. I'm going to, you know, have it on in the background. I gave my preseason tickets away. I don't go to those games. But I am going to watch it. I want to see this. So, you know, I don't want to see defenders in our backfield beating up on our quarterbacks for a change. Wouldn't it be nice to see a Bears quarterback complete some passes and not run for his life for a change? Guys, those are kind of my thoughts. And have a great day.
You Thanks, too, Bob. Appreciate it. As always, you know, something that Jimbo Covert said last week in his Hall of Fame induction really stuck with me. And when he said we had our offensive line of him, Bortz, Hilgenberg, Thayer, and Van Horn, he said we were together for 7 years. And what Bob just said is the cohesiveness of an offensive line. We have no idea what's going to happen on the line. Mustipher's going to be there, and then you've got other guys. Fetty was hurt. He was down for a while. You get to know guys like LaShavius Simmons, Arlington Hambright. These are guys that you may see out there. You'll definitely see out there today. Tevin Jenkins still not out or still not playing with his back problems, which apparently they knew about
when they drafted him. Which, didn't we have a guy from Wisconsin? Was that the left tackle?
Yeah. Did he have back problems or was he just bad?
No, his back problems. He had back surgery.
That was Gabe Kareemi,
yeah,
right?
Gabe Kareemi, yeah. He had back surgery, right?
Yeah.
And that didn't turn out so well.
No.
I mean, it's great to grade him out on everything else, but you do look at the injury history and the physical, and
sure,
that's at least a yellow flag for a lot of teams, if not a red flag, that we can't draft him.
Yeah. Elijah Wilkinson, another guy that most people have no idea who he is. He's going to be the left tackle, apparently, until Tevin Jenkins returns from the back injury. He played 858 snaps with Denver the last three seasons. So he knows the position.
Right.
He's played the position. We'll get a chance to see him, I would think, throughout the game later on today. Like I said, a noon kickoff. Jeff Dickerson can join us in just a couple minutes. We'll see what exactly he's looking forward to, because there's a lot of the reason I don't like preseason games is they don't usually show you anything. And Matt Nagy has had a situation where he doesn't like playing his starters in the preseason.
Most coaches, it's become this thing, well, you know, Bob said, I don't go to those games.
Right.
Well, why would you make a trip from Wisconsin or wherever, even from the suburbs, come in because you're not seeing the starters. And, you know, the whole Jimbo conversation about the cohesion and those guys sticking around.
Right.
Well, now that doesn't happen because guys want contracts and they're free agents and that, you know.
You're right. You're probably right.
Yeah. But this is all about the onset of injury, right?
Yeah.
And even if they lined up healthy, you weren't sure what you had, you know, much of an upgrade, given what you had, you know, Leno's gone and all this. So did you really upgrade or even have a serviceable offensive line, whether it's Dalton or Fields, under center?
Yeah, Chris Williams is the guy that Sean says. Chris Williams, the tackle from Vanderbilt, had a back injury.
Hey, Gabe Kareemi had a back.
Did he really?
Back too, I do believe.
I knew Gabe Kareemi was bad.
He was bad.
Yeah.
He was very bad. And
yeah.
I believe he.
Williams back, but he actually played for a while. Here's what the offensive line looks like. I actually downloaded their the depth chart from the Bears. From left to right, Elijah Wilkinson, Cody Whitehair, Sam Mustipher, James Daniels, the former left guard and center, now the right guard position, and LaShavius Simmons. That's your line that's going to be in front of Andy Dalton and then in front of Justin Fields, I would hope. But, you know, you have other players that have been added, and that's one of the things that do excite me, is that you have some wide receivers, some guys that actually have caught the ball in the NFL. Marquise Goodwin's got a lot of speed. He can catch the ball. Damir Bird can catch the ball. Darnell Mooney, we saw him last year, and we'd just love to see him take the other step. And Allen Robinson is a guy that, despite how happy or unhappy he might be, and he'll be asked all year long about his contract and about
playing
how much money he'd like to make.
Tag, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a guy that can catch the ball. The only thing I've said about him, or one of the only things, is I'd like to see him do better on 50-50 balls.
Yep.
every time there was a 50-50 ball last year, it went he got beat on him.
Right.
You know, he looked like he had muscles, but, you know, he should be able to rip the ball away from some of these defensive backs and cornerbacks, because that's the reason they play cornerback, because they can't catch.
Well, interesting to hear from J.D., because you ran those numbers by about some of the young quarterbacks, 87 yards on 13 completions. Are you going to see a lot of running with Justin Fields out there for as much as he's going to be out there, short pass plays? Is he going to go downfield if the need is there? And how much is Matt Nagy going to, you know, let everyone take a look at, because coaches usually don't want to show the entire playbook or any of the playbook in preseason?
Yeah. Earlier this week, Matt Nagy was asked, what do you want to see from Fields? This was actually in the live action before the Dolphins came in.
I want him to be able to just cut it loose and play without thinking, you know, stay within what we do in the progressions, but just kind of let your personality show on the football field. The other stuff that we critique him on, the tempo in and out of the huddle, all that, that'll happen on his own. Now we get to truly see what he's going to do when the lights are on and he's playing full speed and it's live. You know, we're not doing live with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to see how it's all going to play out, too. 312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls in just a little bit. Jeff Dickerson going to join us. We come back. Fred and Brian here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.